are. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Continuing our series profiling different actors, today my guest is Steve Connell, a wonderfully talented actor, singer, producer, set designer. Well, he does a lot. So welcome to the show, Steve.
Well, thank you, Ricky Lee. I'm glad to be here.
Now, let's go in our time machine back to the very beginning. What got you started in the arts?
That goes back to high school, I guess. I did theater, a couple shows in high school, but then really didn't do much until the late 20s. I mean, there's probably about 10 years where it just didn't occur to me. Or something, doing other things, having kids and jobs and that type of thing. And then somebody encouraged me to audition for summer dinner theater at Monmouth College. And I was living in Monmouth at the time. And I'll never forget the first audition, going to this little theater. It's called the Little theater, and I was reaching for the doorknob to enter for auditions, and I paused. I'll never forget. I paused, almost took my hand away, and went back home.
Oh wow!
I thought I was too scared. I guess I don't.
But you did go in.
I went in and auditioned and got a lead role, for summer dinner theater.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Now, did you study acting or singing at all?
Not till after that, really.
Really?
I remember when I went to University of Illinois, I was an engineering student. I was planning to be an aeronautical engineer, actually.
Wow.
Leaving high school. And so I was in the engineering school at U of I, and I did audition at Krannert Center at the U of I. And, of course, got nothing. I mean, theater majors are the ones that got the roles.
Right.
But anyway, no, I didn't really study until after that audition. Then I began to take voice lessons, and I studied voice with a private teacher that I met, Jana Domenici. I'm not going to mention her name. She'll never hear it. But anyway, I found her through the local community college. And so it was really performance. It was more performance than just, it was a opera workshop that we started to do. And it was a lot of things. I learned a lot of things through her, not just voice. But, you know, we sang opera and I began to perform in singing groups, community choirs. Of course, I sang in church choirs forever.
Okay.
So I did a lot of singing.
Now, you are an actor who is equally adept in musical theater as in straight plays. So let's talk about each one. What appeals to you about acting?
You know, I think it has evolved. Now I think where I am is being in the moment. There's something about acting, being immersed in a character or in a moment of theater on stage, that everything else fades away.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean, you're not thinking about, you know, anything else.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, you don't you're not thinking about your lines, they're just coming naturally. You're in the moment. Yeah. Like you said.
Yeah And that's it's a wonderful feeling, and I don't know that I could have come to that earlier in my life, but it has come to that, that that is one of the most important things.
And now, changing the what we're talking about, what appeals to you about musical theater?
Other than the fact that I get to access a whole different part of my talents, I guess. It's a full body experience if you like, because singing, it involves singing and dancing. It's a lot more entertaining in a certain way than straight drama, because it's just, I don't know, fun. I like to be, I mean, I used to be able to dance better, and I could learn choreography, and so it was a full body experience.
Now, you got your formal training a little later in life.
Yes.
What is the most important lesson that you learned in your training?
Oh, boy. That's a good one. I'd have to think about it.
Okay. We'll come back to that one.
Yeah.
Who are some of the actors that you look up to?
You know, I don't really do that. I guess there's Peter O'Toole, because I was such a fan of Man of La Mancha.
Uh-huh.
And I just loved his performance. And so, yes, I guess Peter O'Toole was one of my great influencers, I guess.
Now, my first exposure to you was when we appeared together in A Christmas Carol, where you played Ebenezer Scrooge, a role that you have played at several theaters.
Yeah.
What keeps you coming back to that role?
You know, it's not just the message. It's the the range of emotions that the character goes through. It's just a wonderful experience. You know what I mean? I never tire of it. I can play it as long as somebody will continue to let me play the role. I will continue to do it.
About how long have you been playing it?
Well, it was interesting. I've done it, well, probably 92 or 93 is the first time I did A Christmas Carol, Scrooge and Marley. It was a version where Marley kind of narrates.
Mm-hmm.
And that one time I played Marley. And then in the middle 90s, I played Scrooge for the first time at ECC in Elgin with Terry Domsky. And so that was probably the first. And then I didn't really do it much until 2002. I was teaching at Larkin High School in Elgin, and I was a physics teacher. And the drama teacher, of course, knew of me and knew that I was doing community theater in the Elgin area. And apparently the Metropolis was having trouble finding what they were looking for. It was the first year of them producing shows at Metropolis, and they weren't finding the Scrooge they were looking for. So she suggested that I contact them and see what I thought. And so I went over there, and sure enough, they liked what they saw. And I played Scrooge for Metropolis in 2002. And then in 2003, they went with an equity actor, and I played Fezziwig.
Okay.
So I did Fezziwig and other characters that year. And then I went back the next year to playing Scrooge, and I played Scrooge, eight or nine times at Metropolis. And then the Opera House did, I've lost count.
Yeah.
four or five times. I don't know. Lots of times.
So, how do you keep your performance fresh doing the same role over and over?
Well, it, again, is being in the moment.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, there's different characters, I mean, different actors playing the other roles. And everybody brings something slightly different to it. But really, if you're in the moment, every moment is new. Mm-hmm. And every performance is new. You know, because sometimes at Metropolis, we would do 28, 32 performances. I don't know. Because we did lots.
Yeah.
We did some daytime shows for schools and nighttime shows. There was times when I would do three shows in a day.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, other than the energy factor,
yeah.
I mean, you have to make each show its own. And it was fun.
What are some of your other favorite roles that you've had the opportunity to perform?
Certainly, Man of La Mancha is high on my list.
Yeah.
It is. And again, I think it's I don't want to say it's similar to Christmas Carol, but it has a message, and it's uplifting and it's hopeful, you know, in a way that I think touches me. And I think that's, I don't know. And again, it's musical theater. You know, and it's not a light. There's not a lot of choreography. I don't do a lot of dancing, but it is it allows me to sing and act, which is always fun. For me.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, I'm joined by actor Steve Connell. Now, Steve, what is your process for developing your characters?
You know, I don't know that I've ever put that down as in a format that's I think it's a little nervous, it's scary at first, because if it's a new character, you know, I don't approach it with a preconceived notion of mm-hmm. how it's to be played. I let it evolve. And really, it's right out of the words. If you read the script and you say the words and you listen to the other actors, that's important to listen to the other actors, it's a more intuitive approach to finding truth, you know, in the character.
Do you do a lot of development of backstory for your characters?
You know, I don't. I know a lot of actors that do, and it's an exercise that I appreciate when directors try to get us to do that. I know the value of it, but I really try to trust my instincts and experience to find a truth, you know, mm-hmm. to present and share with others.
Now, what makes a role stand out as one of your favorites?
I think it's dimensional. If the character is too one-dimensional or doesn't change, if there's no growth, it's not as interesting to me. I can certainly do it. I mean, I've played a lot of roles where it's more supportive, and you come in and you do a scene or two, and then, you know, you leave. But it helps the growth of somebody. So it's still valid and interesting, but not as interesting. You know, one of my favorite roles is in the old actor in Fantastics.
Mm-hmm.
I've played it multiple times. It's just a fun character. He comes in and stirs things up and does his thing and leaves. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Two or three times during the show. And that's a role strangely enough, that, again, as long as somebody will hire me or let me play it, I would play the old actor, Henry, in The Fantastics.
Are there any other roles that you would look forward to playing again?
Well, I'm certainly looking for Man of La Mancha before I get too old and can't remember the lines. I can't sing. I've played so many. You know, one role that I always wanted to do and probably won't is Henry Higgins
My Fair Lady.
Yes, thank you. Yes, in My Fair Lady. That one won't happen, I don't think.
Do you have a bucket list of roles that you would like to play?
Yeah, I don't. I used to, kind of, but I covered a lot of them. And the problem is, as you get older, you're not right for them anymore. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's going to be a challenge. You have to drop some of them. You have to poke a hole in the bucket and let some of them out.
Have you ever considered directing?
I did. I did direct one show for Elgin Community Theater.
And how is that different than acting?
No, it was Independent Players. I'm sorry. It was in Elgin, but it was Independent Players.
Okay.
And that was fun. You know, I tend to produce and act. I don't normally direct. But this was a show that... it just was a great opportunity. And I designed the set, I built the set, I directed it. It was, and I even took a small role because I didn't have anybody that I was going to probably do that smaller role. So yeah, I came on stage a couple times.
And would you ever direct again?
Yeah, I would, but I think I prefer producing. There's a lot of good directors out there, and I don't feel the need.
Mm-hmm.
I would. Yeah.
Now, with your musical talents, do you ever write music?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope. No. No.
Very decisive.
I'm happy. There's a lot of good music out there. No, I'm fine with that.
What would you say is your biggest challenge as an actor when you take on a role?
I think finding the truth of the character, trying to find somewhere inside of me, some aspect of me that feels right.
Mm-hmm.
For the character.
Yeah.
And that takes some time. It doesn't, because I don't have some sort of fancy system. It really takes a rehearsal and getting into the character and getting the character into you and finding a way of doing justice to the character, mm-hmm. Presenting the character in a way that people can relate to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm always interested to hear how different actors approach memorizing their lines. Mm-hmm. Do you have a process for memorizing your lines?
No, I don't. One thing I don't do is I don't do note cards. I don't do recordings of cue lines. I couldn't do it without my wife. She's the one that reads the script and forces me to do it right. But really, it's rehearsal. I just count on plenty of rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem as you get into more professional productions, because they don't have near as many rehearsals. So you have to come, with your A game and be ready. So that one takes a lot more work. I prefer just repeating, doing it over and over and over and over, and partly because that's part of my method, if you like, letting it evolve, you know, finding the truth. And it sometimes takes you know, maybe half the rehearsals before you finally get in a groove. So, yes, no, I don't have any fancy system.
What advice would you give to somebody who wants to audition for a show for the first time? They've never done theater before.
Well, first of all, be brave. Don't chicken out. And I guess do a little research first. No, I don't know about first. I don't know what the sequence is, but certainly get to know the company that you're planning to audition for and know what type of things they've done, what type of shows they've done. And then, you know, certainly read the script, check the music, make sure that if you're going to sing a song, that it is representative of your voice, good for your voice, and that it's similar in style to the show that you're auditioning for. So that you don't do a rock piece if you're doing a, you know, Rodgers and Hammerstein show. You know what I mean? To find a piece that'll accent your voice. You know, and if you can do anything to keep your nerves at bay so that you don't forget the line.
My knees still shake every audition. I don't know why. You know,
I hate auditioning. I hate it. I loathe it.
What advice would you give to somebody who auditions for a show for the first time and does not get cast?
Don't take it too personally, because so often it's just some combination of looks, sound of the voice, age, imagination or lack of on the director or the casting director that they just don't see you in the role. That doesn't mean anything personally, and that's hard. That is hard to do, but yeah, just keep auditioning.
Now, you've worked with a lot of actors. What makes an actor somebody that you would want to work with again? What are those qualities?
Well, I would put somewhere up near the top lack of ego.
Yeah.
There's got to be, you know, there are nice people, and then there are good people that are just hard to be with. And I just don't, I guess as I get older, this, I don't have the patience for people that are just difficult. So I prefer a nice person that maybe has less talent even, but a nice person to work with that isn't too wrapped up in themselves.
Now, you're also the founder and executive producer of Right Center Left Production Company, affectionately called Rickle Pick.
Yes.
We appeared there together in mornings at 7. Yes. What made you decide to start Rickle Pick?
Well, it goes back. It's a long story, probably longer than you've got. back in 2014, the church was talking about building some storage things with a little platform, kind of a stage thing in their fellowship hall. It didn't happen, but it got me thinking that fellowship hall actually could be a stage. We could actually do something there. And I thought, well, what do I want to do? But there's plenty of theater groups. I don't need another theater group. But then I thought, well, I want this to be something that does more than just present theater. I wanted to make a difference in the world. So I wanted to use theater to raise money for good causes. And I say, well, but then you got to pay for the, and I wanted to pay the actors something. I wanted to, I don't want it to be totally community theater. So in the sense of no one getting paid.
Right.
But anyway, I wanted to pay the actors and there wasn't a lot left. So I said, well, nobody does dinner theater. So I thought, well, I'll do dinner theater. And then the proceeds from the dinner will go towards some charity. Well, the first year I tried to do a different charity every performance, and that was crazy. That was You can't take it with you.
Okay.
And by the way, I chose the first show we did in 2015, actually. You Can't Take It With You, because of the title alone. It has a nice message, too. But the title alone is, I wanted people to think, you can't take it with you. Share it. Put mm-hmm. your money out there and help other people. So anyway, so we did. But after the first year, then I started doing one charity per weekend. And I would pick one charity one week and a different charity. But anything that the kitchen people can do to keep the costs down makes more money for the charity. So, yeah, so we're still doing community. I mean, we're still doing dinner theater. We haven't for last summer, and we're not going to this summer for obvious reasons. But we plan to go back.
And how do you pick the shows?
Well, originally, it had to be something heartwarming or positive. And you know, the first show was You Can't Take It With You, because for the title. The second show was Hello, Dolly. And the reason I did it is because Dolly says, money, pardon the expression, is like manure. It's not worth a thing unless you spread it around, encouraging young things to grow. So that line is one of the main reasons I chose Hello, Dolly. So I continue to find shows that are heartwarming and nice or fun.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, we've been visiting with Steve Connell, one of theater's true greats. I hope you'll seek out opportunities to see Steve perform. He is a wonderfully talented man. Steve, it has been a pleasure, and I hope you'll come back and join us in the future.
Well, thanks, Ricky Lee. It was great fun.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm.